Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Before you sit down, do me a favor, put your hand on somebody's shoulder near you. Put your hand on somebody's shoulder near you and just bless them real good in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for your presence upon them this year. In Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. It's all the languages I got right there. Brazilians need to do something in Portuguese, a song, so we can know how to say it. Feeling good this morning? You glad that Jesus is alive? Is anybody glad that Jesus is alive this morning? Are you glad he's alive this morning? We're not serving a dead God. We're not here up for religion. We're not here because God's going to be mad at us if we don't show up to church twice a year. We're here because he's alive, and we know he's alive, and he's worthy of praise. You know, I worshipped him last week, and I'm going to worship him next week and every day in between. Amen? It's because he's alive. He is alive. And I think a good portion of the planet, Christian and non-Christian alike, don't know that. And I think we have to tell them. I think they don't know it, and we need to tell them. Amen? I think it's worth telling. People want to tell me a lot of stuff that is not worth knowing. That's worth knowing. Amen? You with me in the back? You guys back there, you with me? Father, we thank you for this offering. We pray that your glory would hover above it. Amen. That's it. That's all I got right there. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Oh, how I love me some Jesus. We're believing for a second Christmas miracle. I'm planning on preaching a short message, and then we're going to have communion. Feeling good? I'm excited to be with you guys. I like being part of a faith community. There's a lot of faith communities that don't have faith. You know, there's a lot of non-believing believers. It's weird when you have to evangelize people who are supposed to be believers. It's like, man, the hardest ground to plow is people who are supposed to be the believers. Okay, I'm not going to go down that road, but I might later. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 1 if you would. This is our Christmas service, and I don't necessarily know why we even need a Christmas service, if I could just be completely honest with you. I celebrate his birth, you know, pretty much every day. But, you know, it feels good, and we got a tree, and I'm wearing a tie for the third time this year. No, third time this month. I think I wore a tie three times last year, including weddings. And so here I am, three times in 1 month. Who knows, next year, just who knows, I might wear a coat. You just don't know. Anything can happen. You guys all done Christmas shopping? No? Excellent. I want to keep talking just so I like hang out with you guys, but I'm going to preach this message. You ready? We're going to start. You know, it just kind of feels fitting to read the Christmas story here, if you don't mind. So we're going to read Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse, 18? Something weird has happened with the scriptures recently. The words are getting smaller. I'm not sure. Or my arms are getting shorter. I'll blame it on the spotlights. All right, ready? Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you're such a very good God. We trust that you'll bless the reading of your word today, and we just trust that you're going to be among us. I thank you for the miracles you've already done today. And Father, I pray that as I preach, there will be something that you do special in the air, that you would anoint these words in a special way, and you would do that thing that you do with those you've called to preach, and you would anoint their tongue, and you would literally transform their words as they fly through the air before they get to people's hearts, and that they receive the word that you have for them. And Father, I pray that your son, Jesus, will be born afresh in hearts today as I'm speaking. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. There's kind of a funny thing about this whole Christmas story. Now, if you grow up in the Western world, if you're growing up in America, or you grow up kind of in Europe or something like that, you kind of grow up with this story. Even people who don't believe it have grown up with it. Even many Jews know the story, or many Muslims know the story if you grow up in what we call a Judeo-Christian society. But it's a funny thing about this story. As I read the Bible, which I tend to do from time to time, if you read the Old Testament, you start in Genesis and you read all the way through the history, and you read through the poetry, and you read through the law, and you read through the prophets, and you get to Malachi, and you hear God saying, the Father loving the sons, and the sons loving the Father, lest I strike the world with a curse, and then there's quiet for a long time. There's no possible way you could think in your mind, the next thing that's going to happen is a baby in a manger. There's no way. There's just no way that's what you would come up with. It's not, there's no way. It's a complete surprise. Like, what? Right? You would think the next thing that happens is they didn't obey that and God begins striking the earth again. If you read through the scriptures, you're just expecting some very grumpy man to come back. And he begins to bother people with how wrong they are. And I mean, there's just no way. And so what did God do? In his infinite wisdom, instead of just dropping Jesus on the scene, he gives hints all through the Old Covenant. And then he kind of ties it all with the bow with the last Old Testament prophet, John the Baptist. Now, the last prophet in the Old Testament is not Malachi, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist comes and says, listen, I'm here. He's got the spirit of Elijah on him. And he says, there's one that's coming, and he's going to be amazing, and he's going to change lives. And people are like, great, that's great. Are you the Messiah? He's like, no, maybe you didn't understand what I said. One is coming, and he's going to change lives. He sees Jesus, and he's like, that's the one I'm talking about right there. It's important to understand, as we're here on this Christmas service, it's important to understand that this whole message doesn't make any sense. I try to stress that a lot in this church, that this Christmas message, this salvation message, it makes no logical sense at all. There's no logic to it. And if you try to convince people about Jesus and the Messiah and their need to serve him out of your logic or out of human understanding or out of the flesh, there's no way you can convert somebody by works of the flesh. There's not a person in the kingdom who said, I was argued into salvation. You can argue somebody into changing how they live. You can argue somebody into feeling bad about what they're doing. You can argue somebody into being quiet when you're around. You cannot argue somebody into a relationship with Jesus. Doesn't work that way. Just doesn't work. It's a new covenant. It's a new deal. It's just new. And it's important that we approach this Christmas message with an understanding that God has done so much for us, but we have to do some stuff too. There's a relationship here. And so I just kind of want to go through the scriptures a little bit this morning and hopefully get this thing born afresh in your heart of who he is, why he came. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Well, we look at this birth of Jesus showing up on the scene in a manger, and it's counterintuitive, and it doesn't make any sense. And you could even say it doesn't line up with how prophets have come in the past, unless you start reading the prophecies about the Messiah. Many years earlier, the prophet Isaiah talked about him coming. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Say sign. God's into signs. like, I'm not into signs. And, well, you're not into God, I guess, because he's into signs. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. How many of you know that's impossible to bear a son when you're a virgin? How many of you know there's many women who say that's happened? And you didn't necessarily believe them. I'm not going down that road, Jesus, help me. So you can imagine back in the day what Mary looked like when she got pregnant and told her husband, or her fiancé at the time, look, I've been faithful. He's like, I get that, but you're pregnant. Nothing points to the fact that you've been faithful to me. And I'm a good guy, and I'm not going to shame you to overcome how I feel hurt. Can you imagine what Joseph felt like? You got to believe that both Joseph and Mary were righteous people. Imagine, Jesus came through the world, into the world through Joseph and Mary. Though I do not believe in the Immaculate Conception. Mary was born with sin like anybody else. However, she had to be pretty good. I cannot believe that God would have sent his son to the earth through an unrepentant sinner. These were righteous people. And they didn't have the Holy Ghost, so they were working hard to be righteous. Right? I got the Holy Ghost and I'm working hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got deliverance happening around me, you know? And so, and it's still difficult for me to walk it all out all the time, you know? And here's Joseph and Mary just doing what they know how to do to live as righteous as they can. I can't imagine, with as many people on the planet today, if we still had their system, that there'd be any doves left from all the sacrificing, and there wouldn't be a bull on the planet. We'd have to start sacrificing mechanical bulls or something, because we'd have wiped them out a long time ago. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But here they are, and here she's just living as righteous as she can. And next thing you know, she's pregnant and wasn't married. Can you imagine what that felt like for her? The shame that she was bearing. The shame that she bore because she carried the presence. And here's Joseph. Righteous man of God. Righteous man of God. Ready to receive his bride. And here she is, going to bring shame upon him. I mean, this is all prophetic. Here's what would be the natural father, not wanting to shame those who are fallen, filled with grace. Here's Mary, and they're supposed to get married. And they had these plans that everything was going to be perfect. We're going to have the big wedding. All our families are going to rejoice. You know, he's of a certain lineage, so he's expecting certain things to happen ministerially, socially. And he sees, okay, here's a woman who supposedly slept around on me, and she's now unclean, and it's all gone if I marry her. It's all gone. Think about it. It's all gone. And he goes to sleep. And an angel visits him in his sleep. And based on that one angelic encounter, he gives it all away to marry her. Side note. If you're not in the church, this isn't for you, what I'm about to say. I've met people who act like they have tea with Moses every other day. And yet I don't see any of the self-sacrifice. I don't see any of the rivers of grace. I don't see any of the overcoming mercy. I don't see any of the long suffering. I don't see anything compared to what we see this guy doing after one encounter with an angel. He wasn't even converted to Christ. Didn't say he received the Holy Ghost. Didn't say he got deliverance, or he got inner healing, or went to... No, he said, I just was one thing with an angel, and that's righteousness. I'm going to go ahead and put my entire life on the line to follow God. But back to my point, Isaiah prophesied this coming. He prophesied that this virgin would have a child. And that was certainly, if you read it in context, he's talking about something in the day. But obviously the Holy Spirit also meant something later that would bear witness to. And how do we know that? How do we know that wasn't just for Isaiah's day? Well, we read in Matthew chapter 1, it says, It says, she'll bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. This is the angel talking to Mary, to Joseph. He says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Verse 22, you ready? All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So we can see, okay, this Old Testament guy said this, but how do we know that has anything to do with today? Well, the Bible tells us that it has something to do with today. It had something to do with Mary getting pregnant with a child, even though she had not had relations with a man yet. And so I want to point a couple things about this birth real quick that you might not have seen, or you may have seen, but I can just kind of highlight for you that we can meditate on in this season. Amen? First thing I want to show you about this entire series of events is what they said about the birth. It doesn't say that the birth is the miraculous coming. It doesn't say that the birth is the end-all, be-all. It doesn't say that the birth is it's little baby Jesus, and we're going to worship little baby Jesus forever. I have some friends of a certain Christian stream that I'm not a part of, and it's all about baby Jesus. Little baby Jesus. Well, he ain't a baby no more. And so it's all about Jesus on the cross. I'll let you know he ain't on the cross anymore. Amen? He ain't baby Jesus in a manger. He ain't on the cross. Ain't nobody beating him. He's coming back, and nobody's going to spit at him when he comes back. Amen? Anyway. So, number one, the thing I want you to see is that the birth was a sign. Number one, the birth was a sign. The birth was a sign. Let's look at it. If it says that the birth was a sign, he said in his Isaiah 7:14, he says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You shall call his name Emmanuel. If the birth was a sign, what's it a sign of? That's pretty important to know, right? I'm going to give you a sign. Imagine you're going somewhere. It's like, okay, you're going to come to my house. Okay, how do I get there? All right, there's going to be a sign. What's a sign for? What's the sign say? What's the sign going to do? What do I do when I get to the sign? I'm just going to get to the sign, and I'll stop at the sign. Carl's house. I'm at the sign. Ha, thank you, Jesus. Here I am. No, it's a sign. Are you with me? The birth is a sign. Say it. The birth is a sign. The birth is a sign. Now, it's a miracle. Don't get me wrong. It's a miracle. It's an amazing miracle. But it's just a sign, and it's important that we figure out what it's a sign of. If we read this in Isaiah 7:14, he says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel, as we read in Matthew, means God with us. Say that. God with us. The sign of the virgin birth is to show you that God is not far away, number one. That's good news, by the way. He's not a far away God. You know that false prophecy song, God is watching us from a distance. He may be watching from a distance, but he's also watching very close. Because the birth was a sign that God is with us. It's not just a sign that he can do miracles. How many of you know he doesn't need a sign to show that he can do miracles? That doesn't even make any sense. Like, I'm giving you a sign. What's a sign for? To show you I can make signs. Wait a minute. Does a sign say signs? I don't understand what the sign is for. If it's just to show me. Like, I already knew he was God. I didn't need him to give a sign to show me he's God. Are you following me here? The sign is not to show that God could give signs. The sign was to show that he would be with us. I'm going to give you a sign, and it's going to show you that God is with you. Well, that's good news. And let me tell you why I'm harping on this so much. There's too many people, even in the church, who don't believe God is in the midst of their struggle. Or they think, I have messed up, so God has left me. Or I have not earned my way into his good graces. Good news, you haven't. There's still a sign that he's with us. You hear what I'm saying? I never once said, you know, man, I really messed up, and you know, I just don't deserve to be at Boca Middle for service. And then I look, oh no, I'm here though. There's a sign out front that says that's what this is. It's not changing based on my behavior. Are you with me? And not only is it a sign that he's with us, if you continue to read Isaiah chapter 7, he says, a virgin shall have a child, you'll call him Emmanuel. And then he goes on to talk about what it looks like, God with you. It talks about how God will heal the land, and he'll bless your hand, and he'll bless your work, and you'll see him not just, oh, look, God is with us, he's standing over there in the corner. It's kind of like, you know, your old Uncle Louie, who's just, you know, he comes to the vacation, or he comes to Christmas dinner, and somebody brings him in a wheelchair, and they sit him in the corner, and somebody feeds Uncle Louie, and you clean him up a little bit. Look, he's with us. That's so awesome. And some people, they think God is like Uncle Louie, incapacitated, unable to get part of the conversation, unable to be part of the meal, unable to be part of our fellowship, unable to interact with who you are. God with us has to mean something at some point. He's not, oh, look, he's over there. Hi, Uncle Louie. It's like the wax museum. Look, there's a picture of who he used to be and what he used to do. That's so awesome. No, there shall be a sign. A virgin shall bear a child. You'll call him Emmanuel. And then when this happens, you'll see that your environment begins to change. That's what Isaiah prophesied. Isaiah prophesied that, hear this, to people in a covenant who's not even as good a covenant as we have. Did you catch that? It's like they got the silver plan and we got the platinum plan. You know, like when you get the gold plan, you get these things. In the platinum plan, you get all the gold plan plus all these benefits. We got the platinum plan. They had like the bronze plan. We got like the platinum plan, and we don't have to pay more for it. We just give everything, our lives, and we get everything. I'll be with you, and all your circumstances will change. You say, well, it doesn't feel like my circumstances change. Well, you need more of him with you. You need to look for him more. You need to say, man, I don't feel like God is here. Well, like the song that Lillian sang, which they hadn't even planned to sing, he says, when I got high mountains and low valleys, I'm gonna sing out and remind my soul that I am yours. I'm gonna sing out and remind my soul that I am yours and I'm forever yours. And I know the circumstances feel like you're not here, God, but right now, as an act of faith, I'm gonna be able to say, you know, Isaiah prophesied that you would be with me, and so I'm just, my circumstances don't look like it, and my finances may not look like it, but I'm even going to prophesy to my finances. God is with me, so you have to change. Are you with me? Is anybody with me right now? I'm feeling good right now. It's very good news. You can expect that your relationships will be better when you're in this covenant with God. So number one, it was a sign that God would be with us. The second thing I want you to see in this story, that this was the beginning of a new covenant. This, if you're taking notes because you love Jesus, you'll write down that this is the beginning of a new covenant. Beginning of a new covenant. You ready? Matthew chapter 1, if we stay in our scripture for today, verse 21, it says, "She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Did you hear that? Did you catch that? He would save his people from their sins. Now there's a popular opinion in the world that there is no such thing as sin. And you can all agree on that if you like. But at the end, he's going to say, guess what? I got the last say. It's like when people strike, and they're like, we're going to get on a strike, and you're going to pay us more. And they say, no, we're just all fired. I'm like, wait a minute, we thought this would work. Yeah, but you forgot, you don't have any power over the situation. All right? We're not going to eat until you do what we want. Well, you're going to be hungry, I guess, because I'm fine. I'm going to keep eating. So I'm guessing in about 30 days, I'm not going to have this problem anymore. We'll show you. Yeah, no, actually you won't. You know, I don't know what you're going to show me. But there was a new covenant that he was that this birth was giving us, and it says in this new covenant that she shall bear a son and he will save people from their sins. And I want you to hear this very nuanced statement I want to give you right now. You can't save yourself. You have to react to God's grace, but in the end, he has to save you from your sin. You get that? This is very good news because I tried to live a good life before I got saved. I did a horrible job at it because I also tried to live a very bad life. And it was very difficult to live both at the same time. I don't know if anybody's noticed that. You try to be a good person, but the problem is you're defining good. And when you're defining good, it's funny because what's good shifts based on what you want that day. And you're like, I want to be, you know, really wicked here on this night, but when I get to work, I want to do a very good job. But, oh, wait a minute, that has bled over into the rest of my life. I thought I could just leave that. Or you get in a really bad relationship, and you're like, I don't want that to affect everything else. Well, guess what? It affects everything else. Why? Because there is a definition of good and bad. And there is a spirit world, and there are spiritual forces. And when you link yourself with unclean spiritual forces, they don't just say, oh, you don't want us around anymore? Okay, we'll stay home. Let us know when you want to party. Now they're like, oh no, we're with you, even to the end of the age. You get what I'm saying here? And so it was a very unsatisfying life, living a life of sin, because you can never, you get that, you know, you're like, you get in this warfare, like, I don't want to sin anymore, oh, I don't want to do these horrible things, and you're like, oh, well, that horrible thing might be fun. And you're like, so you do that little horrible thing that's something you're like, wow, that wasn't quite as fun because I didn't realize it would lead to this down the road. And by the time it leads to that down the road, you can't stop. Yeah. You're like, wow, I thought I owned it, but what do you know? It owns me. And so Jesus comes along, you know, because we're like, man, I wish I could break out of this cycle. And he's like, you can't break out of the cycle. You're in the cycle. There's nothing to break out of the cycle into. The only thing to break out of the cycle of sin is into righteousness. That only comes through the blood of Jesus. Are you with me on this? But it's even better than that. Tell your neighbor, it's better than that. And let me tell you, the people who have the hardest time grasping what I'm about to tell you, the people who have the hardest time grasping it are people who grow up in church. People who grow up in church learn how to act like a Christian. You need to behave like a Christian. You're like, no, you need to be a Christian. Quit worrying about how they behave and try to get them saved. Good Lord, don't let them act it out because they're going to think that's all there is. Well, I'm tired of acting, you know, let me just be in the world where I don't have to act. No, just be saved. And if you got sin issues, we'll deal with that and all, but just follow Jesus. We could deal with sin issues, but, you know, that's separate from you being saved. How you act is not the point of being saved. You got to get that flow of the Holy Ghost in people's lives. You need that flow of grace. And so when people grow up in church, they're like, well, I tried all that, and I acted saved, and I went to church 15 times a day, and I still struggle with whatever, so why don't I just be that? Well, that's because you got it all wrong. It's just wrong. It was presented wrongly. And I don't know why I'm going down this road, but Corey is working with our Awaken Youth. And so we're having conversations about this. We're having conversations about how do you get a youth group going where you don't teach people how to act like Christians? Or you put people on stage just because they have talents, even though they're living unrighteous. Because you got a youth group, you're like, I need a band. You know, I need cool kids on the stage. And okay, you're sleeping around. Okay, are you sorry? Okay, go on up there and lead worship. No. No, how about you just lead worship? You let them just get some ministry. Sure you feel bad? Uh-huh. Okay, get on up there. All right, glad we worked that out. Don't tell me about it again, all right? Because I need a guitar player. Anybody grow up in church know what I'm talking about? I call them the youth group all-stars. Youth group all-stars. Oh, look, they're always on the mic. It's funny because, oh, good. Oh, no, Jesus. I'm just going to. Woo! Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for self-control as a fruit of the Spirit. So I'm trying to raise my kids to be Christians, not act like Christians. Don't act like a Christian. Just be saved. If you're not saved, get saved. And let the Holy Ghost begin to work out what that means in your life. Get a pastor, get a church, get some accountability, and start walking out what Jesus is speaking to you right now. Stop acting like you're Christian, right? It upsets people. They come here all dressed up. I mean, I'm not looking good today. But, you know, people, they come, they show up, they got on, I got all these church clothes, I'm ready to be a leader. I'm like, well, one of my head ushers wore shorts today. I don't know what to tell you. Sorry, You know, you can't buy a church position at Macy's. It just doesn't work that way. Sorry. Sorry, it just doesn't work that way. Well, whatever church, well, then I recommend you go to whoever's church. I don't know, because this doesn't work that way. I am on a roll here, Jesus. We almost time for communion. I don't know where I'm going with this. Thank you, people who love me. Okay, listen. Oh, Jesus. This is the beginning of a new covenant. And in this covenant, Jesus takes away sin. Say it. Jesus takes away sin. If someone came up to you and took your wallet, right? I said, why don't you give me your wallet? And they run away with it. Would you tell people, I gave my wallet away? No, because that's not what happened, right? But so many Christians are so proud of their righteousness. My Bible tells me Jesus took your sin away. You just learned how to walk in that. Listen, Jesus takes away sin. And when he takes away, he gets all the credit. And so, amen, that's a good word. And so, number one, the birth was a sign. But number two, it was the beginning of a new covenant because Jesus, at this point, wasn't just God with us. It wasn't, okay, there was a virgin who was born, and so that means God is with us. There's a virgin born, God is now going to be with us. Let's look for him. No, it wasn't just a sign that he would be with us. It's not like saying, listen, I'm going to send you some things, and when they show up, you know I'll be there soon. No, no. Jesus was what the Bible calls God incarnate. He was God with flesh. This had never happened before. It wasn't just, I'll be with you. You hear what I'm saying? Not just with you, like I am with you. Jesus, God. God with you. And the Bible says here that he would save his people. Now, how does he save his people? Well, it's fairly simple, even though illogical. See, there's sin, right? Sin's bad. Sin separates man from God. So the Father sent his Son, Jesus, who was perfect and without sin. He never did sin. He walked the earth and didn't sin. I try to go a good day and a half without sin. I feel pretty good, you know? And he goes his whole life without sin. And that upset some people. And he just said what God told him to say. And he only did what God told him to do. And he only did what he saw the Father doing. And he said what he heard the Father saying. And so they killed him. And when they murdered him, the devil didn't realize that he had just conquered sin because he lived his whole life without it. He like put an early end to him not having to sin. He's like, oh, I should have waited 70 years and tried to tempt him more. I didn't realize what I just did. That was, oh, I can't believe I just did that. Stupid, stupid, stupid. You see the devil, stupid, stupid, stupid. You're always messing things up. Right? He was only on the scene 3 years, walking in his anointing, and he killed him. Like, it generally takes ministers longer than 3 years to fall. You know, you just, yeah, anyway. Anyway, forget that. And so he died, but the good news is he didn't stay dead. He not only conquered sin, he came back from the dead and conquered death. So anybody who dies in him shall live again. And the Bible says what's even better is not only did he conquer death, he's at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing? He's praying. Praying for what? He's praying for us. And so you're like, okay, God is with us. He takes away sins. And not only does he take away sins, he's praying for me. I got to believe the Father hears his prayers. Because he's right at the right hand. I mean, he couldn't not hear him. He'd be like, why are you always talking? I'm the Word. Oh, that makes sense. Should have named you Quiet Meditation. Anyway. Oh, forgive me. Act like I didn't say that. Anyway, so he's at the right hand of the Father praying for us, and one day he's coming back, and we're going to live with him forever and ever. Amen. And so he said not only does he take away sin, he's the God with us, God in the flesh, and because of this God in the flesh, because he sacrificed his Son, because there is a penalty for our sin that he bore, no longer do we have to bear it on our own. He took away our sin, he took the punishment, and now he's praying for us that we walk in this new life. That's good news, amen? third thing I want you to see about this Christmas story. I got 3 points. I'm feeling like a preacher man. Got on a tie. Got 3 points today. Lou, you must be praying for me. That's awesome. Prayer and intercession. I'm still drinking Monster, though, so just... You guys still feeling good? I'm glad you came. It's almost over. Third thing I want you to see here is not only was this a sign that the virgin was born, and not only is this the beginning of a new covenant, literally the agreement that God has with man, the third thing I want you to see is that this is the beginning of a new relationship. It's the beginning of a new relationship. See, it even goes beyond the fact that God is going to be among us on the scene. You see, it says in Matthew 1:23, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, we talk a lot about the name of God in this church because he can name himself whatever he wants and he can't lie. Right? He can name himself whatever he wants and he can't lie. And he named himself God with us. Not God with me. God with us. He didn't say, in nature call me God among us. They didn't say, and you shall call his name God who is there to judge you. He didn't say you shall call him God who will be there to tell you when you're getting it right and wrong. He didn't say you shall God who is your supervisor. God with us. He's with us. He's with us. It almost speaks as a peer. He's with us. He's right here in the midst of us. We're going to this thing together. I'm not alone. It means like there's this relationship that he's prophesying he's going to have with us in our community. And not only did he say, listen, anytime two or three are gathered, there I am. Because he can't lie, and his name is God with us. And you say, well, sometimes I don't feel like he's with me. Sometimes I feel like he's far away. I understand he was born from a virgin, and, you know, he died on a cross for my sins. I get that. But with me personally? You know, I know when I was a child, I felt him, or my grandmother knew him really well because she read the Bible all the time. And you know, I don't always live it right. Well, Matthew, at the other end of the book, you know, at the very beginning, he talks about Jesus being born. The very last verse in Matthew, you don't have to turn there, Matthew 28:20, Jesus leaves them with this little exhortation. He starts telling them some things that are going to happen and what I want you to do. I want you to go do these things. And then he ends the book with this verse, with this sentence. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Not only is he God who showed up on the scene, and we all have great friends for a season. We all have great friends, and in middle school you feel like this is the greatest friend I've ever had in my life, and then in college maybe, this is, wow, we're just like, brothers, and then you get married, and you're like, this is awesome, and then you're married, and you're like, this is terrible, and then you're married, and you're like, this is awesome again. You know, it's like, and back and forth, and you have co-workers that you really like, and you have family members, and sometimes you're closer than other times, and you may long for a time back in the day when you had that close confidant. But Jesus says, listen, I'm not coming and going. I'm coming. I'm making relationship with you, and I'm going to be with you forever. That's good news. That's good news. I am going to be with you forever. I can't tell you how many people came to this church. They came to the altar. They said, I've been away from God. And I say, close your eyes. I'm going to pray for you. And they get an open vision of how Jesus had been with them the whole time. The whole time. I'm not afraid to preach that. He's with you, and he's believing God for a better life. Hebrews chapter 1, it says that, in 1:3 says, he's the radiance of the glory of God in the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by his word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What does that mean? Jesus, in the flesh, on earth, is the representation of God. He's the perfect representation of God. He's the perfect representation of God. And he said, I will be with you to the end of the age. And so you may say, well, I don't see him around. Where is he? You say he came in the flesh. He said, listen, I promise that I will be with you. And there is only one God. So he knew he was going to be killed. And he said, listen, here's what I want you to do. I'm going, but it's better. It's better that I go. We look at John chapter 14. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. A couple real quick things I want you to see here before we get into communion. What God has spoken into your heart, the world doesn't understand. Because God didn't speak it to everybody. There's promises in your heart that don't make sense. Because he's not speaking to the present you. He's speaking to the future you. He's speaking to the transformed you. He's speaking to the you that he created you to be. You understand that? Do you understand this? You get a prophetic word and you're like, my life don't line up with this at all. Like, he's not speaking to who you are. He's speaking to who you're going to be. If you continue to walk with him. You walk with him, he's like, listen, I see you're struggling, and we talk about this all the time. You're struggling with something, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent. Jesus, how do I break this thing off? I don't know how I get out of this cycle. My heart been hurt again. And he's like, one day you're going to have a multitude of children. You're like, I'm talking about this issue I got right now. He's like, oh, this ain't going to be forever, though. That's what he's saying. This ain't forever. Listen to who you're going to be. You're looking at the wrong you. You're complaining about the present you. I need you to think about the future you. Who you're going to be if you walk with me. I'm talking to the you you're created to be. You're talking about the you you created. What's something on that? We put that in the book. Watch out there now. See, but the world doesn't know the future you. Your brother, sister, mother, father may not know the future you. The Bible says right here that he's going to be with you. He says, the world doesn't know him. They can't see him. They can't hear him. They don't get it. You see, the world says we need to have a nice little Christmas service and we light some candles and sing This Little Light of Mine. And I don't know exactly what, I never got into the religion thing. And maybe have some kids singing up here off key. And, isn't that neat? Okay, let's go get some chicken, you know. But I don't know if you notice this or not, but we've decided to go on with the Holy Ghost. And the birth is a sign of something much better. I'm not going to sit around and circle around the sign. And so I want to say this before we have communion. Mikey, if you would come. Before we have communion, I want to say this. His promise right here in this scripture is, I will not leave you orphans. There's people in this room right now, you feel like you've been orphaned. He didn't say you'll never become orphaned. He said, I won't leave you as orphans. And I believe God wants to allow the spirit of adoption to come into the room. Some of you feel orphaned even though you've never been orphaned. Some of you, that's interesting. Some of you have been orphaned and you are orphans. And God says, I won't leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. So he's going to send his spirit and it's going to heal hearts. Hallelujah. So right now, before we even begin communion, hallelujah. We're going to welcome the presence of God, and then we're going to have communion. If I can get my ushers to move my communion tables, please. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 We're going to welcome the presence. Jesus. Come on, let's focus here for a second. Let's focus. It's Abby, right? How you doing? Glad to see you in town. I saw two things. That's the craziest sound. I sound like we're in a cathedral. I don't know what's happening there. Much better. How's life? Good? Excellent. I heard a word, and the Lord said you need to read a lot. I feel like you're supposed to really study Scripture a lot. And I think I saw the roof of your house was missing a pillar. And there's a pillar he's going to give you in Scripture. I don't know what the pillar is. I don't know what that signifies. I saw there's a pillar, and you're going to see it in Scripture. He's going to reveal it to you. And then I saw, and this could mean 8,000 things. I'm not going to guess what it means. I saw part of your heart was, it was kind of like, well, I shared the word earlier, kind of like calcified, kind of like dried and brittle. And again, someone could say, oh, say she has her love turned off. No, God didn't say that at all. But I just saw God flowing with love, flowing into that part, and I saw healing and life. I believe I know, but it's not like, I think whatever it is, God will, you know. But it's very good. But I see Lord bringing this other pillar, and I don't even know if it's connected. I see part of your heart. It has to do with expectations of people, I think, but that's between you and God. So I just want to release that. Hallelujah. Joel, I feel like the Lord is saying you need to dig deeper. I see you've been drawing from a well, and the well's murky. What once was a deep well is now kind of a mud puddle. And so you're getting liquid, but it's not clean. I hear the Lord saying, like, stay still, dig in one place till you get fresh water. That's a good word. I'll take that. That's a good word. Good Lord. I'll write a book on that one. Not that your word wasn't good. I just felt that his was... You guys good? Okay, let me read some Bible, then we'll have communion together. Okay, let me say this. We practice an open communion, which I hope every church does, because there's warnings against not. If you have received Christ as your Savior, then you're a Christian, and you can have communion with us. If you won't have communion with us because we don't go to the same church, that's bad. It's bad to think that way, because the Bible warns. People die early for thinking that way. Just want to put that out there. I'm gonna read you some Bible, and then we'll have communion. You ready? Paul wrote this to the church of Corinth, and he wrote it with them so they would be in unity. Can you turn down the keys a little bit in the monitors, please? He said, you don't have to turn you down, just let him do it. He says, starting in 1 Corinthians 11:22, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered. I'm wearing a tie, honey, and this is like, can't wait to take it off. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was, I feel like I'm in a zoot suit or something. I feel ridiculous. I feel like a mechanic or something. I don't know. I should be working on cars with all this on. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. And you say, man, I've done something wrong. I'm unworthy. Well, then none of us could come to the table. Let's see what he calls unworthy, shall we? Excellent. Let's let Scripture interpret Scripture. He says, let a person examine himself and so eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. So if you come into this communion table and you don't say, man, I'm part of a much larger body than my little church body, then you're doing it in an unworthy manner. If you go to your church and say, just I only do it with my church, then you're receiving it in an unworthy manner. That's what this Bible tells us. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. I don't want to be condemned with the world, right? So let's go ahead and take this a step further. And let's just clean our hearts before the Lord right now. And let's just ask the Lord, search my heart if there's anything in me that's unpleasing to you. How I receive other people, or even how I've received you, Jesus. And I feel the word that Sarah got earlier about it's never too late, you're not too far off. I felt like the Lord really wanted to do that today before she even had that word. And I feel like there's people in this house right now, and you're away from God. You may be coming to church, you may not, but just in your heart, you're away from God. He has not been Emmanuel, God with us. I'm here to let you know today, He's with us. He's with you. And when you come forward and you receive the bread and you receive the cup of the new covenant, you're declaring, I'm now with you today, Father. I'm one with you today, Jesus. I'm with you today. I'm with you today. Just give yourself a moment. Say, Holy Spirit, search my heart. Just begin to pray, Jesus, reveal to me. I'm ready to come into this new relationship with you, where you take away my sin. Reba shandeveke, rebondo ka halaba rebe, sheba. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I'm going to tell you two things real quick about your new life. Starting January 1st, we're going to have 21 days of prayer. And it's not 21 days positioning ourselves to hearing God, or 21 days consecrating ourselves to hear God, or 21 days of mourning until we hear God. No, 21 days of hearing God. I'm just going to hear God for 21 days. Pray and ask God what He would have you do during that. Some of you are going to fast. I encourage you all to fast media. Like, just turn off stupid vision for a couple weeks. And we're going to read through the New Testament together through January. Amen? Get a little flyer. It's also on the web. So stand if you would. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the cup of the new covenant. And you said, this is my body broken for you. And we thank you, Father. And we bless these elements in the name of Jesus. You said, this is my body broken for you. We bless these elements in the name of Jesus. Here's the instruction. I want you to come and receive the elements. Take it back anywhere. Go anywhere you want. And nobody has communion alone. That's kind of like the opposite of what communion is. If you came by yourself, get with some people. Get with some people. And don't squish the bread up when you're serving it, please. Get with some people. And one of you just lead each other in receiving the elements. We're going to do it in groups, all right? And let me just say this. You have communion anytime you gather with believers in Jesus' name and eat. This isn't a religious ritual that was supposed to happen in a church. This was supposed to be, look, you weren't a family, but now you are because of the sacrifice of Jesus. So when you get together like a family, remember it's because I died on a cross for you. This isn't a religious ritual. We do it here because it's kind of, I don't know, it's what we do on Christmas. But I have communion with my family every night. And we don't say anything fancy. I say, thank you, Jesus. We pray over our food. Thank you. Because of you, we could do this. Amen? So, Father, that you would bless the elements and you would encounter your people today. And you would be Emmanuel, God with us, in Jesus' name.